Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by Baylife Church, Port Stephens. We hope you find this message challenges and inspires you in your daily Christian walk. For more information, visit www.baylifechurch.org.au.
It's a Choose Joy series through the book of Philippians. And I thought I was going to do this in 4 weeks. There's no chance I'm going to do this in 4 weeks. I reckon I'm only going to get through a few verses today. It is such a rich book. Look, I actually underestimated Philippians. I read it how many times? I don't know how many times. Who knows? 20, 50, I don't know how many times I read the book of Philippians. I'll pause there. I do know I've read it at least 14 times because I've read through the Bible 14 times. How do I know that? Because I do my Bible reading every day. I read a bit of the Old Testament, a bit of the New Testament, a psalm, a proverb. And basically I know I get through the Bible every year, let alone the reading I do for my preaching prep and that sort of thing. And how are you going in your Bible reading? That's a good challenge at this time of year. You know, how are you doing that? Have you got a system whereby you get through the New Testament, you get through some of the Bible? You need to know the Bible. It's our guidebook, I guess. It's what we use to inform us on how to operate in our Christianity. And so I've read through the book of Philippians lots of times, but I think I underestimated the depth that Paul was dealing with. It is about joy, and Philippians 4:4, you know, rejoice in the Lord always, I'll say it again, rejoice. And joy is mentioned sort of 17 times, I think, through the book. And Paul's writing this when he's in jail. You know, he's been in prison. He's chained to a guard. And you go, man, that's tough, you know. And he's been through all sorts of horrific things in his life. And he's going, you know, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord. You know, again, I say rejoice. And you think, wow, that's such a great attitude. In part of Philippians, he talks about, I got the opportunity to share the gospel with all the guards of the kingdom, you know, and you can imagine being chained to this guy, he'd just be at you, you know, in your face, sharing the gospel with them, and he counted that a joy, you know. He just saw tough circumstance in a joyful way. And we're going to look at Philippians 2 this morning, and we're going to look at joy and harmony and humility and about Christ in our lives. And we're going to read that this morning out of Philippians 2. So I'm encouraging you, particularly in this series. I know I put a lot of scripture up on my PowerPoint, but I'm encouraging you to bring your Bible to church, to read the verses along with us as we read them. Because here's the thing: I know I've got things underlined. I've got little notes in my any particular book I open up. There's notes in there, there's highlights, there's scribble, there's personal notes. And I know they are so rich when you go back to them at some stage and read and go, oh yeah, that was right. That's when I was going through that tough circumstance. And I felt like God used that verse to encourage me, to lift me up, to see a different, look at it differently than what I had in the past. And I just reckon there's something about a written Bible. I've tried to write on my iPad or iPhone, but it just doesn't seem to work, and just scratches the case. And so I reckon it's good to have your Bible. Let's read together. Philippians 2. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even to a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's verses 1 to 11. And I thought I was just going to make that the first point this morning, but that's not going to happen. We will just dig into this in the process of this morning, and we'll see where we end up in this process. I want you to know this. He's talking about joy. In verses 1 to 2, he says joy comes from harmony. In verses 3 to 5, it says harmony comes from humility. And in verses 6 to 11, Jesus models both. In that verse, in those verses 6 to 11, you know, that great little stanza, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. And Jesus models both joy, harmony, and humility in there. And again, we're talking about this joy in terms of relationship. And we don't get joy necessarily, shouldn't look to get joy from relationships necessarily, although we do. We shouldn't get that from a person. It actually should be the relationship brings joy as we sow into another's life, as we become closer to someone else. And there's just things I really like in this. You know, Philippians 2:2, talking about harmony creates joy. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Four types of harmony there. Four types of harmony. Same mind, mental harmony. Same love, that one love, emotional harmony. United, one in spirit, a spiritual harmony. And one purpose, a directional harmony. Four different types of harmony he's talking about there. Directional harmony is like we're all going the same direction in purpose. You know, we could call that unity, and because unity is so important to God, isn't it? God commands a blessing where there's unity. And this morning, as we're talking about joy and relationships, I thought we need to consider, at particularly this point of our year, when things start to ramp up even more, and maybe you've already been busy, and there's been stresses, and there's been things going on in your world. And there's been conflict with other people. How do we reduce conflict in our world? How do we reduce conflict with other people? How do we negotiate that? And I think Philippians give us a great model to consider that. And the first thought out of this is never allow pride to be a guide. Never allow pride to be your guide making decisions. Never allow pride to be the guide to considering something. Never allow your pride to get in the way of what maybe God would want. I feel like I'm paparazzi or something. I just feel like I'm getting photos taken over the whole time. So what's going on there? Never allow pride to be my guide. You know, here's what I thought about. Pride is the root of every sin in this world. Think about that. It's a big statement. Pride is the root of every sin in this world. Pride is a sin, by the way, but it's actually the root cause of every other sin in this world. And it started in the Garden of Eden. Started way back then, and it's been the same ever since. Whenever there's sin, I think you can track it back to that root cause of pride. And it's such a... it's insidious. It sort of sneaks into situations. Philippians 2:3 says this. Don't do anything from selfish ambition or from vain conceit. Don't do anything, nothing, not one thing, nothing at all. Don't respond, don't react, based in pride. How do we know what that looks like? Well, it's broken into two parts here. Selfish ambition and vain conceit. Selfish ambition, vain conceit. Selfish ambition, what does that mean? What's that all about? It's all about me. Me, myself, and I. It's about me. It's about how things affect me. You see, people who have got selfish ambition in life, they're never really prepared to sacrifice anything. They're never really prepared to sacrifice themselves in the process of doing anything. It's only about what's good for me. Selfish ambition is, I'll do what I want to do or what's convenient for me to do, but don't you dare ask me to do anything. How dare you? Pride. Selfish ambition. I've got better things to do with my time. Thank you very much. You know, and this is a huge thing in this day and age of convenience and self-interest and self-focus, and particularly for any volunteer organization and particularly for a church, of course, you know. As soon as our ego starts to get in the way, as soon as we put ourselves and our ambition above God and the church, we start to go off track. We start to go off track. You know, so many Christians, I'm going down this track for a minute. I'm probably speaking to the wrong people here this morning, but many Christians would easily agree with the thought, yeah, you know, we put God first in our lives. Yeah, yeah, I'll put God first in my life. Yeah, I'll do. Yeah, sure. And you go, okay, really? Okay, let's evaluate that by what the Bible says. You know, Hebrews 10, verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. Not giving up meeting together. What does that mean? For them, it meant daily meeting together. For us, it means weekly meeting together and some midweek meetings. And it's that time when we get together, we encourage each other, that we spur each other on for good deeds, for kindness, for love, to be all that God has purposed us to be. And in this world of turbulent change and chaos and stuff going on and things challenging us daily, we're about what we see and what we hear and what we know, and you think, man, we need more of that, not less. There's a trend somehow, I don't know why, through business I assume, where churches are getting less people in church week to week. More people on their books say they're a churchgoer, but actually less people week to week. You go, well, how are we actually going to be the church if we're not meeting together on a regular basis, encouraging each other, lifting each other up, spurring us on in our lives? Because we don't like accountability. What's accountability based in? Well, we don't like it. Pride. Selfish ambition. Whoa. Yeah, but I always put God first thing. Well, do you really? Let's have a look at your bank account and your check account. Really, do you put God first or do you put yourself first? Do you put God first when your wage comes in, or do you think, I'll do everything else and if there's something left over, I might sort of give something? Well, that's putting God first. Biblically, that's putting God first. You might say to me, well, Greg, is there a curse if you don't tithe, for instance? I can't tell you if there's a curse if you don't tithe. I don't really know that. All I can tell you is if you do tithe, there is an amazing blessing that comes as a consequence of that. There's this crazy thing that happens where God can use more of our 90% than we can use of our 100%. And you know, can I tell you a story from last week? I don't know if this is where I was supposed to be up to or not, but anyway, there was a guy last week, we talked about the slab. The slab should get done Wednesday. It was supposed to get done last week, but it didn't quite happen, so apparently it's all booked in for next Wednesday. And we were a bit short on funds to finish that off, but we also had this insurance quote going through, and our excess is $2,500, and we've got to find that from somewhere as well. And I didn't think I was just informing you, really, you know, and I think that's what my intention was. Someone came to me at the end of the service and said, oh, look, I feel like God really challenged me to give you the $2,500. Now, I know this person, and they are not necessarily well off. They're not. You know, and I said, you're sure? And with tears in his eyes, he said, no, God challenged me. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? And he said, I'm going to give it to you. And I went, oh, that's huge. That's fantastic. Thanks so much. Monday morning, my day off. I don't take too much on Monday, to be truthful. I don't respond very often, but because it's our day off. Every other day I'm available, Monday I'm not. So, but unless there's something going on. Anyway, the phone rang. I thought, oh, I better respond. Answered it, and this guy said, oh, you'll never believe what happened. I said, what? He said, I haven't told you the whole story. We are actually currently in serious legal court battle with a large company, and it looked like we were gone. For all money, it looked like we were gone. They weren't listening. They weren't being reasonable. They had the funds, resources to take us apart. He said, Monday morning, I got an email from them saying they're withdrawing all their claims and there'll be no nothing else litigation as a consequence of that. That it's done, it's finished. He said, "Whoa." Sunday, he committed to trusting God with his finances and his life. Monday morning, an email came, said, "Okay, it's off the table now. It's no longer an issue." You go, God is magnificent. Yeah, come on, let's give God a clap. God can do anything with that little bit. Don't you ever doubt that. I know we can get very worldly and very inward looking and going, yeah, but you don't know, Greg, how tight my finances are. I've done it. I've done it for ever since we became Christians and we got the revelation of this giving thing. I'm telling you, God looks after you on the way through. We don't understand it. We don't get it. It doesn't make common sense. But I know when we enter into it, trusting God, putting God first, he can do way more with our little bit than we can. And bless you as a consequence of that. So as I said, biblically, do we really put God first in our lives? James 3:16. Wherever there's jealousy or selfish ambition, you'll find confusion of every other kind of evil. Whoa, that's such a... Wherever there's jealousy or selfish ambition, you'll find confusion and every other kind of evil. That's amazing. Have you got confusion in your life at the moment? Is there confusion going on? Maybe there's selfish ambition in there somewhere. Maybe there's jealousy in there. Maybe have you got confusion in your home, in your mind, in your work, in your circumstances, in your head? Check out jealousy and selfish ambition. Check it out for you. Check it out for people in your world, because there's something significant about it that causes chaos in our world. Amazing. The second one that they talked about was that Paul talked about was vain conceit. Vain conceit. What's that about? It's about always being right. Don't you love these people? They're never wrong. It's never not my fault. It's not my, I didn't have anything to do with that. Someone else did that. Blame someone else. They always want to look good. They always never want to be wrong. They social media is their perfect platform. These people, they just love social media because they can have a go at anyone. Have a go at anyone, anytime, any place, any time in the night. And they're not answerable to anyone. They have opinion about everything. They attack other people's views. And I've been exposed to this a little bit, but not as much as probably you have. And they can look like they have it all together, but without that accountability, without that thing they can question anything. Vain conceit, selfish ambition, vain conceit. You know, this verse in a couple of other versions of the Bible reads this way. Don't live to make a good impression on others. And another version says, don't do anything from a cheap desire to boast. How do we reduce conflict in our lives and with others? Never allow pride to be your guide. First point. Second point, be humble or you'll stumble. I'm pretty poetic this morning, I reckon. I might talk in poetry, but no. Never allowed humble, be humble or you'll stumble. Sorry. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Philippians 2:3 continues. Instead, be humble and give more honor to others than yourself. Be humble and give more honor to others than yourself. You see, this is how we keep conflict out of our relationships. If we think we're more important than other people, obviously that's going to cause conflict. But if we do it the way God would want us to do, the way Paul is suggesting here, be humble, give more honor to others than yourself. And humility is not thinking less of yourself or putting yourself down or being a doormat for other people. It's not that at all. It's actually just thinking less of yourself, less about yourself, and thinking more about other people. That's what it's actually about. Humility is not denying your strengths. It's admitting your weaknesses. You see, humility is being honest about both. So it's not like, oh, woe is me, I've got no strengths in my life, I'm only weak and I'm just a worm. It's not that at all. It's actually going, I'm okay at that, but you know what? I'm really weak in that area. And I know that stuns you sometimes that I'll do that. I'll just say, look, I'm terrible at that. I got no concept of this, or I don't know how to do that. And that's humility, I think. It's not false humility where you go, woe is me, I'm a worm, just step on me and trip, you know, push me into the ground. And no, it's not that at all. Be humble or you'll stumble. It's admitting your weaknesses, but also not denying your strengths. And there's so many promises throughout the Bible for people who operate out of that humility. God promises and says, I'll give you my presence, my power, peace, you'll be prosperous, make you successful, give you great honor. And it's exactly what we all want, but we try to make it happen so often, but it all comes through humility. James 4:6, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Be humble or you'll stumble. The third point, pay attention to others. Pay attention to others. Learn the lost art of paying attention to people. We live in an ADD world, seriously. Our lives and the technology, the pace of our lives and the technology that we use, and they teach us and program us not to pay attention to people, but to pay attention to a screen or a phone or an email, or like it's the wrong thing. And we're in our own self-centered bubble as a consequence of that. And we live in this world that's dictated to by a screen. And we're busy trying to live our lives through a device. And it just, I know there's probably parts of your life you have to do that in, but really, if we live our lives through those things, we're not paying attention to people. And that's what God's biggest deal is. We pay attention to social media and whether anyone's liking us or commenting on our post or sharing our post or responding, and we're waiting with bated breath. Is someone going to respond? Is someone going to like it? Is someone going to say it's okay? It's just wrong. Philippians 2:4. Don't be interested only in your own life, but be interested in what concerns others too. Such a key to living a joyful life, I think, and having joyful relationships. Be interested in others. Be interested in others. Be curious. Be concerned. Be caring. Be loving. Be interested in what other people are going through and their concerns and their thoughts. And when we get our eyes off ourselves and put them on other people, it allows us to let go of control and striving and pushing and prodding. And I tell you what happens is joy takes the place of those things that we've been trying to produce in our lives. Joy just, you give it space for joy to fill in those spots. Joy comes from harmony. Harmony comes from humility. You know, parents, and particularly dads, something we need to understand. You just can't be interested in what you're interested in. Hear me, men? We need to be interested in what our kids are interested in. It's not natural. My natural man, it's the last thing you want to do sometimes. But you can't just be interested in what you're interested in. You have to be interested in what your kids are interested in. And you know, if I got my phone and took a photo of all you right now, took a photo, a panorama one, they'd get you all in there and you could all see your faces. How would you judge that photo? If I put it up on social media, how would you judge that photo? Who would you look for first? Who would you look for first? You, right? And you judge that photo on, how good you look in that photo. Oh, my hair was good today. Or, oh, I look fat in that outfit. That's a horrible photo. Or it's a good photo because, oh, I look pretty thin today. That's pretty good. And we judge our life on how it affects us all the time. And we forget about the other 100 or so people in the place because we look at us. And it's just a natural thing. We forget to pay attention to others around us. We've got to lift our heads, lift our hearts, lift our intentions to interact and care and love and pay attention to other people in our world, to ask questions. I find the best way to be interested about someone is ask them questions, because sometimes they don't look that interesting. But as soon as you start to ask a question, tell me about that. Why do you think that way? What's that about? How'd you get here? What's this? And they start to unlock it. Everyone's got a beautiful story if we take the time to listen, if we are interested enough to pursue them, to go, tell me about your life. Tell me about something. Tell me some stories. And I'm telling you, everyone, if they're encouraged to, not if you're going, yeah, just got to take a text. Yeah, I'll be with you in a sec. Yeah, oh, sorry. Yeah, you're finished. Yeah, I'm there in a minute. No, that's not the way to do it. Let's be as a church. Look, you know, with these markets, we had great response. People said it was such a positive place to be. People cared about us and tried to help us. And I think that's what we want. Not to be so business-like and go, no, you can't do that. And we didn't charge some people yesterday because they didn't do that well. And went, no, that's all right. Don't pay. And they went, what? What? You know, people are trying to get it for free. Someone's trying to get it for free. The other ones are usually doing well and they're trying to make more money. But the ones, you know, we just, no, don't pay. Don't worry about it. Steve did a great job with that. And it's that grace, that caring for people. It's that being interested in people, paying attention to people. Okay, I won't use that story because that will take too long. Luke 9:23. Jesus said, this is a scary verse. If you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross every day and follow me. If you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross every day and follow me. We have to lay down our self-interest. We must be more interested in other people, caring about what they care about. The greatest gift we can give to others is our attention. I want you to hear this, family members, spouses, in-laws, outlaws, well, you know, like just anyone, parents, just got to give them their attention. Don't be so busy the doing that you forget to engage with them and actually to, how are you going? No, really, how are you going? Not just, yeah, good, see you later. No, how are you actually going? Pay attention. And the last one, it sounds a bit like a cliche, but ask, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Philippians 2:5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Wow, if we could just get this one point. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. What would Jesus do in this situation? How would he respond? The answer will always be, he'll respond with humility, he'll respond with grace, he'll be humble. The only thing he's not humble with is religious spirits. He was very tough on them. Now, what does that mean, acting like Jesus? What does that actually mean? It means this, I don't demand what I think I deserve. You see, in our self-interested world, we think we miss out on something. We've got to go into battle. We've got to get the accolade. We've got to put someone else down so I can get put up. We have this sense of entitlement. It's not fair. Didn't you see what I did? No one patted me on the back. No one gave me any applause. No, it's not about that. You see, if we got what we really deserved, we wouldn't have a relationship with Jesus and we wouldn't have eternity in heaven with him. If we really got what we deserved, there'd be none of that. See, none of us measure up. None of us measure up. No matter how good, how successful, how rich, how merciful we think we are, it's not about us. It's because of what, not because what we've done, because what has been done for us through Christ Jesus. It's been done for us. And our responsibility as Christians is to respond in the way that Jesus would respond. Philippians 2:6 says this, though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. He emptied himself of all he had. See, often we think it's about our rights, our entitlement. The second thought was this, acting like Jesus, I look for ways that I can serve. Philippians 2:7, Jesus took on the nature of a servant, becoming human just like us. That's the exact opposite of our culture. We want people to serve me. How come you're not serving me well? How come you're not responding to me well? How come you're not doing that for me? And it's the opposite Jesus is telling us to do, take on the nature of a servant. In God's kingdom, it's very different. We serve others in our lives. You know, just around here. You know, doesn't someone have to do the cleanup around here? Yeah, probably someone's role to do that. But it doesn't hurt you to pick up a paper, a cup or a can or whatever. Oh, yeah, but isn't someone supposed to put toilet paper in the toilet? Yeah, well, the volunteers are, but wouldn't it hurt you to find that and put that in there every now and then? Well, you know, how come there's all stones over this path? That's dangerous. Well, get a broom and sweep them. You know, take on that servant heart. You're not here to be entertained. You're not here to come to church. You're here to be the church. Every one of us. You know, and I think sometimes we think it's about, oh, I'll give up once a month to come to church and they better bless me or I'm not coming back, or they better not have that music too loud or I'm not coming back there. You go, hang on, there's something wrong with that picture. I'm not sure what it is, but maybe it's because you've got the wrong attitude. You're not coming with the attitude of a servant to serve people, to serve God. And this drives me crazy. Can I look out? I'm getting the rev up now. And she's right, because I'm going to try and do communion at the end of this, and it's not going to quite work while I'm spouting. But I'm serving you. See, I'm serving you. Okay, I'll quickly finish, and I will get to my point that I want to end with communion. Do what's right, even when it's painful. Do what's right, even when it's painful. Philippians 2:8. While living as a man, Jesus humbled himself even more by being fully obedient to God, even when that meant his death on a cross. You see, we think of it as a temporary reward. It's actually an eternal reward that we're looking for. It's not now. It's not now we're getting the reward. And we shouldn't expect to, actually. The reward is eternal. And it finishes this whole passage. The Philippians 2, and if the service team want to give out the emblems for communion. Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11. Because of this, God exalted Jesus to the highest honor and made his name greater than every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will one day bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and give glory to God the Father. See, I don't know if you get the significance of that. Every knee shall bow, whether atheist, Buddhist, Hindu, Christian, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Give glory to God the Father. Thanks, mate. And this morning, as we bring the close, we're doing communion at the end here. And it's been a little bit of a roller coaster to get here, but I just want to put our focus on Jesus. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? How would he want us to respond? With humility, with harmony, to live the way that he would want us to live in the way that represents him well in our life. And Jesus clearly says towards the end of his time on this earth, take these emblems in remembrance of me. Take the bread, take the wine. They represent my body and the blood of Jesus. How do we get right with Jesus? Let's repent. It's repentance. Confess our sins. Repent of the things that we've got wrong or right. And go, you know what? That's not me. I am because who you are. And this morning, as we just contemplate on that, just meditate on that just for a second. What would Jesus want from you in this next season? If he was here with you, you've got the Holy Spirit in you, but sometimes we ignore the Holy Spirit. But if Jesus was sitting right next to you right now, he's tapping you on the shoulder saying, you know, mate, you know, lady, you need to do that differently. You need to respond differently. You need to, that relationship is important. Maybe there's something you need to consider that you've done differently from this point forward. Let me pray and we'll take the emblems. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus, we thank you for what you've done for us. You've taken on the sin of the world, the burdens of the world. So we can live in freedom. We can live in victory, God. Father, this morning we choose to remember your Son, Jesus Christ, and the cost that he paid. But Father, we also want to think about the freedom and the victory we now live in as a consequence of that, God. And we want to live in a way that you want us to live, God. And as we take these emblems, we want to remember you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the message today brought to you by Baylife Church. We hope the message leaves you feeling challenged and inspired to live out your Christian walk. Please tune in again for next week's message.